Have you ever found yourself walking in darkness? What do you depend on until you find light and can see better?
We're talking about lifelines this morning as Pastor Taj Pachlav takes us on another Reflections of Hope adventure and shows us why this matters in our spiritual experience.
We also have music and an encouraging message from Faith for Today.
Stay with us.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Today we're celebrating World Book Day.
Wow.
Yep, and we're highlighting the most important book on earth. Can you guess what that book is?
The Bible.
The Bible. And here's a few fun facts about the Bible.
The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. It is estimated that 25 million copies are sold each year in the United States alone. Strange to add, it is also the most stolen book.
Now that is
interesting. I did not know that.
Very interesting. And did you know that the Bible was the first book to be printed by movable type? And it's what kickstarted the publishing industry.
Wow, that's amazing. And finally, the first complete English language version of the Bible dates back to the 1300s when John Wycliffe began this work, risking his very life to do so.
Wow, you know, clearly this amazing book, the Bible, is a book like no other. And for good reason, it is the Word of God.
Amen.
God Himself has given us these messages written down to reveal His love to us.
That's right. And today we want to encourage you, friends, to celebrate World Book Day by spending time in the most important book ever published, the Bible. Get to know the loving God behind it, and you will never regret it.
That's right. And today we want to share more about this incredible God who loves us so much that He left us a love letter that speaks to each one of us on a personal level. So as we get started here today, let's take a look at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1807, the U.S. Congress passed an act to prohibit the importation of slaves into any port or place within the jurisdiction of the United States from any foreign kingdom, place, or country. In the Bible, we find that there is yet another form of slavery that has affected all of humanity since the beginning of time, the slavery of sin. Unfortunately, no one can accomplish freedom for anyone else in this regard. There is no law that anyone can pass to force us to be set free. Instead, freedom from the bondage of sin is a choice each one of us has to make.
You see, Christ has made the way for us to be free. He has already made it possible when He came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died and He resurrected. We simply have to choose to live free in Christ. And friends, have you made that choice yet? Today, right now, is the perfect day to choose freedom in Christ and to follow in His steps as you let go of the bondage of sin that is holding you back. My friends, you know, the Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Praise the Lord. Did you know that at least one major battle in the Bible was won with music? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find the inspiring story of King Jehoshaphat leading the children of Israel into battle against their enemies. The king's army was led by singers who set out to battle praising the Lord. As soon as they began to sing and praise God, the Lord fought mightily on their behalf. There is power in music, friends. Next time you're facing trials, discouragement, or temptation, sing and praise the Lord and watch Him move mightily on your behalf.
Amen. We'll get to start it this morning now as we share a special musical segment.
By my name shall hold. are called by my name and seek my face and turn from the
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment. And don't forget, we're on YouTube channel as well. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with another Reflections of Hope episode. Stay with us. Deep in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico is a place of wonder and awe. It's a realm where you can submerge yourself in a different reality, where few people have ventured. The underwater caves and caverns of the Riviera Maya are a spectacular sight to behold. It is a place that should be on every diver's bucket list, and one that beams with several spiritual lessons. Watch now as Pastor Taj takes us on a deep dive to discover lifelines in darkness.
One of the most intriguing places on earth is the great Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. Embraced by the calm and clear waters of the Caribbean Sea, the Yucatan is a place for ocean lovers and adventure explorers like me. It is the home to the second largest reef system in the world. It extends from the northern tip of the peninsula, stretching 625 miles past Belize, Guatemala, and down to the Bay Islands of Honduras. The Mesoamerican Barrier Reef, also known as the Great Maya Reef, is second in size only to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. It is teeming with an abundance of life. The beauty of this place is more than words can describe. But besides the white sandy beaches, the calm and warm turquoise waters, the rich history of the ancient Maya, the lively culture and the abundant wildlife, this space is a place for people to go even deeper below. Besides diving in the open ocean, the Yucatan Peninsula offers a different kind of diving experience unlike anywhere else. For this place is also the home of the largest underground river on Earth, the famous Riviera Maya. It flows through a 430-mile network of caverns and caves beneath the ground surface. With no surface rivers or streams, this underground river is the only source of potable water in the region. The sacred cenotes of Tulum is what initially drew me to this place. The convergence of piercing light rays, dark shadows, and crystal clear water is a photographer's paradise. Penetrating the caverns and caves of this underground world transports you into a different realm where few people have seen for themselves. Stalagmites and stalactites, massive columns and domes decorate the interior of this underwater domain. Deep under the surface, the only way to see these otherworldly formations is with a battery-operated dive light. But batteries don't last forever, and the air in your tank is not limitless. This reality is what makes cave diving extremely dangerous. If your light goes out, it's almost impossible to find your way out through the darkness out of the cave. Without the light, it's only a matter of time before your air runs out. That's why cave diving must be done with special equipment, elaborate training, and expert supervision. Besides this, one of the most important things that can make the difference between life and death in a sketchy situation is the guideline. As new caverns and caves are explored and mapped out by pioneers, rope guidelines are installed to inform future divers of the right way to go. And in the unlikely chance that your light goes out during the dive, the guidelines can still bring you back to the safety of the surface. Cave diving is safe as long as you have the light and follow the guidelines. The same reality is true in day-to-day life above the surface as well. Just like the caves of the Yucatan Peninsula, today we live in a beautiful and yet broken and even dangerous world. A world of immense beauty, wonder, and surprise, but also a world filled with injustice, unrest, and uncertainty. And in order to navigate successfully through this dark and crazy world, God has given us light from His Word and a sure and safe guideline in the Holy Spirit. And as we choose to follow the light from the Book of all books and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises that we will be led into all truth. Therefore, we need not be afraid of the darkness that surrounds us, nor of the dangers that lie ahead of us. For though we may dive through the caverns of the shadow of death, God is going to be with us. All we must do is breathe the breath of prayer, turn on the light of God's Word, and follow the heavenly guideline to safety. Looking upon the beautiful aesthetics of the caverns, in the crystal clear water, is absolutely mesmerizing. For some, there's a strong temptation to leave the guidelines and explore the many caverns along the way. Some venture out a little way, thinking that they can easily return to the guidelines after a brief time of exploration. With curiosity aroused, it's easy to get distracted by the desire to see something new, but to do so can be fatal. There are many tragic stories of careless divers who venture too far from the guidelines to their demise. The only sure safety is to stay with the guidelines and follow the light. And my friends, in a similar way, there is only one way to heaven, but there are many detours on that one way. And in this world of mass distraction, if we're not careful, we can be easily deterred from the path of life. So as you navigate your way through this confusing maze of this world, I encourage you, stick with the guideline. For the guidelines are not there to restrict you, but to protect you from the known and unknown dangers in the way. If your light is growing dim and you're beginning to panic, just breathe and stick with the guideline. If you've been distracted by that which is forbidden, and you're treading in dangerous waters, come back to the guideline. For the guideline is your lifeline in the darkness. It is the only sure way to safety, satisfaction, and life.
We now have to take a short break, but stay with us, friends. After the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Faith for Today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
The morning was still dark before sunrise, and Walt Disney paced the length of Main Street Disneyland, fear tearing at both his heart and his mind. It was opening day of the new amusement park, and he was certain that his greatest fear would be realized. He had been working on this dream project since the 1930s, and in 1954, Walt was able to work a deal with the fledgling ABC television network to help fund the park. In exchange, he agreed to produce Disneyland, the TV show. They sent out 11,000 invitation-only passes to the families of employees, press, dignitaries, suppliers, and officials of companies sponsoring the exhibits. But Walt had an overwhelming fear that wouldn't allow him to sleep that opening morning. What was that greatest fear? He feared that only a few people would show up and the live TV coverage would expose a deserted Disneyland. What he didn't know is that some people had printed forgeries of the passes. He also didn't know that an enterprising young man with a ladder would set up shop at the back fence and would charge people to sneak in that way. Walt had hoped that some of the 11,000 guests that had been invited would show up, but he had no idea that well over 28,000 people would swarm within Disneyland on that opening day. It may be a bit difficult to imagine how Walt Disney could have ever had the fear of an empty Disneyland, but let me share something else that may be even more difficult to fathom. Walt Disney and God share a very similar fear. Jesus told us about this shared fear in a story about the most magical kingdom of all. It's found in Matthew 22, and it begins like this. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." Now, the word for banquet here is technically the same word for breakfast served mid-morning, or brunch. This was just the beginning of a week-long celebration, and it all started with a king's brunch. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. Now, the wedding invitations in Jesus's day came in two parts. The first one asked you to save the date. The second one was basically, y'all come eat. The surprising thing about this part of the story is that all of these guests had previously accepted the invitation, but now they refused to come. This term refused is written in the imperfect tense, which means that they persistently refused, which shows that the servants were persistently inviting. They couldn't take no for an answer. It was an honor to be on the king's guest list at all, but to refuse a king was unthinkable. And to make a king send out a menu to try to in some way entice you just to show up was unthinkable. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. both good and bad? Does the Bible really say that God wants bad people in heaven? It most certainly does. The king tells his servants to go get all the good and bad people who are standing around at the street corners. What type of people can you find consistently standing on the street corners? That's right, prostitutes. It was the same in Jesus's day. Jesus clearly states in his parable that the king in that grand celebration wants to surround himself with the good and the bad, the healthy and the sick, the athletes and the lame, the rich and the poor, the homeowners and the homeless, the interesting and the boring, the passionate and the bored, the clean and the messy, the fixed up and those who are all messed up, those who have it all together and those who are falling apart, the righteous and the sin-ridden. He just wants everyone right there in his home celebrating the union of his son with the bride. Now, if we stopped right here, it would be more than enough to give us hope today. But Jesus isn't comfortable in describing God the Father with this level of generosity. Luke's version of this story goes on to show even more. "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full." Now, the terms for roads and country lanes here is a common idiom in Christ's day. Literally, the words are behind the hedges. What kind of people live behind hedges? That's right, homeless and destitute. Obviously, our king is not claustrophobic. He's not content unless every nook and cranny of his halls are filled with people, even people who live so far away that they have absolutely no idea who this king is. They live down country roads so far that they are not technically part of his kingdom. So what does this mean for us? I want you to come with me to an underpass outside of the freight yards of one of our great railroad centers. Here are two or three men, hobos, vagabonds, tramps. One says, "I hope that I'll have $1 million. Another says, "I hope that I will have $2 million. A third says, "I hope that I will have $10 million. The total assets of these three men actually only amount to about 43 cents in their worn-out pockets. Sometime when you're in an airport, observe the difference between passengers who hold confirmed tickets and those who are on standby. The ones with confirmed tickets read newspapers, chat with their friends, or sleep. The ones on standby hang around the ticket counter and pace and pace and pace. The difference is caused by the confidence factor. If you knew that in 15 minutes you would have to stand in judgment before God and learn your eternal destiny, what would your reaction be? Would you worry and pace? Would you say to yourself, I don't know what God's going to say. Will it be welcome home, child, or will it be depart from me? I never knew you. Jesus says in today's parable, I want you in heaven more than you do. Welcome home if you'll accept my invitation and come to me.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy, for sharing that inspiring word with us this morning.
And friends, we want to thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, friends, we're right here tomorrow morning waiting on you. We'll be starring life-changing stories from around the world, uplifting music, and Pastor Mark Finley will be with us for a devotional thought.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. It's found in Psalm chapter 9, verse 10.
It says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
You know, and to know God is to trust him. Mm-hmm. And believe me, friends, his promises are true. He will never leave you.
Amen. Friends, we have enjoyed spending these minutes with you this morning. What a joy. And we hope that you will experience the peace and happiness that God desires for you today.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, Your character is so sweet. It's so true. It's so loving. And today, Lord, we want to renounce any lies that the enemy has spoken to us about your character. We choose to believe the truth that you are a God who is love and merciful and forgiving. You are a God who is full of hope. And you want to fill our lives with meaning and purpose. And so today, Lord, we are overwhelmed with the sense of your presence in our hearts. We thank you, Lord. Remain in us today as we walk by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.